Kevin is waiting to talk with you. Call 781-837-4900. Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, 95.9 WATD.
And we are back here on Monday Night Talk. Yes, remember, if you miss any of the segments that we have on this evening, we do have a podcast site, MondayNightTalk.podbean.com, or you can just as easily go on to the WATD website, scroll down on the left-hand side, you'll see a banner with Joe and I on it and the Monday Night Talk logo. Click on it, and it'll take you to at least some of the most recent. We're still a few podcasts behind, but we are working to get those up to speed. Also, we are on Facebook, Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD. If there's something that we're talking about and you feel that you might have a helpful question for one of our guests, you know, always feel free to post it or just like the page and make some suggestions for future shows. Well, joining us right now for our I would say a popular segment, wouldn't you, Joe?
Yeah.
The Statehouse Report, where we have a chance to speak with a variety of state representatives or state senators from around the South Shore. Today is no different. Actually joining us is State Representative Keiko Orrell. She represents the 12th Bristol District. I believe that includes Berkeley, Taunton, Lakeville, and a few precincts in Middleborough. Representative, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
From what I understand, I've had a chance to chat with yourself and some of your colleagues. It has been a busy couple of weeks up on Beacon Hill.
It has been a busy couple of weeks. We've done some reform of the EBT system, and I believe that we're moving in a good direction, albeit small steps. And I think that we're going to see some changes with the fraud and abuse that people see out and about. So we're definitely taking measures to strengthen that system so that people that need the help can get the help. But today's big news is the minimum wage issue that's going through the Senate. It's going to be debated tomorrow, and it was kind of sprung on people by surprise. And I've gotten quite a number of emails on that from small businesses who are very concerned about the increase of the minimum wage. And they're already, a lot of them tell me they're voluntarily paying more than minimum wage, and they just don't want more government mandates.
Well, I have to ask you this: is this going to be something that's going to be done over the next few years? If in fact this bill is passed into law, is this something that we'll see an increase over the next couple of years, or is it something that over 2 years, boom, it's going to be at $10 or $11 an hour?
Over 2 years, it's going to be at $11 an hour. I think that's where the grave concern comes in, because it would be the highest in the nation, and so. The businesses that I talk to are barely making it as it is, and we want to create a climate where people will hire new employees. We're trying to create jobs. We have, over 250,000 people unemployed in Massachusetts, and we need to be creating jobs for those folks. And the jobs are going to come from the small businesses, so we need to listen to the small businesses, and they're telling us this is not a good time.
Representative Joe Rossi here. I had heard that there was a bill proposed to actually separate minimum wage for, say, summer or teen workers versus...
Well, I think lower teens rate of pay compared to what it is at standard now. I think $8 an hour, right?
Sure.
Right.
And if that's the case, is that something is that a bill that you would maybe support, or is that an idea that you may want to push forward to separate minimum wages?
Well, it is an idea that we just heard in committee last week. I'm on Labor and Workforce Development, and we heard a number of bills on the teen employment issue. And while initially it's something that I think is a good idea, because we're trying to, right now we have teens that can't get jobs, but we also have a lot of people that can't get jobs. So we have to take a more comprehensive approach towards creating a climate where businesses will hire, and at the higher rate, the folks that are pushing for the lower teen rate, they're not going to hire teens because they don't have the skills or they may feel that they don't have the skills to pay that higher rate of $11 an hour. So I haven't seen any final bills with the teen wage included, but it's certainly something that I would consider. And but understanding that any of these increases are going to have a detrimental effect on small businesses.
Is this a standalone bill, or has this been bundled with anything else that may be job related? I know another arm or aspect that we were going to discuss was being able to accrue sick days. It isn't being packaged with something like that, is it?
No, and this is going through the Senate, and it is not coupled with any type of unemployment insurance reform or any type of workers' comp reform or anything like that. It's a standalone minimum wage increase, and it's going through the Senate. They're going to be debating it tomorrow. In the House, I've been assured that we're not going to be taking it up until after the new year. I know that businesses in my area that I've talked to are very concerned, and so I would encourage all of your listeners, if they have small businesses, to start the conversation, because we need to make sure that we're moving in a good, positive direction for the Commonwealth. We can't have the tech tax debacle type of decision-making happening on Beacon Hill, where we make a decision and then shortly thereafter we have to repeal it because it's a terrible decision.
Well, and that's a perfect example, because and that's why I had asked you about it being a standalone bill, because you look with that transportation bill that we saw this summer, that tech tax and the gas tax that I know that a lot of your colleagues are working to try to repeal that. I believe those were all kind of bundled into that and kind of hidden behind the transportation reform bill.
Right. And again, I think that the issue is that we're trying to inform the public, and I appreciate, you know, shows like yours where people are trying to get to know what's going on Beacon Hill, because it's such a mysterious type of place where these bills just come out and new mandates come out and the businesses have to fill out more paperwork and there's more taxes to pay. And so we're trying to get people to know that this is happening now, and you have an opportunity to voice your opinions, whether for or against. And so that's where we have to have the discussion. We have to involve the public.
Now, I know another aspect that you wanted to talk about for a moment was the paid sick leave bill. Where do you stand on that, and what's some of the discussion that's going on with that?
Well, again, the paid sick leave hasn't come out of committee, so we're still, you know, we're still in that process. It hasn't moved to the floor to vote. So, again, I feel like it's a mandate that employers are offering right now as an extra incentive to get good work, good employees. And so we need to continue to allow businesses the freedom to operate, and we do not need to have government telling businesses what to do. So that's where we are in that. But, you know, I am on labor and workforce, and we have a number of bills that we hear, and so the height and weight bill came up recently, and that's an interesting one. I hope it doesn't move forward where we would add height and weight as protected classes, and that's just not a good way, a good road to go down, where it's very subjective, and it's something that I believe we're already well protected with the discrimination.
What's your understanding of this particular bill? Because Joe and I were kind of joking about it.
I know,
it
I heard you.
Me being kind of a shorter guy, kind of like got a little bit of weight around the, you know, I guess that tire that you get after a while right around the waist. I don't want anybody discriminating against me because I'm a short, chubby guy. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, and I'm on the shorter side as well. But again, we can't have subjective types of classes. And so when you look at someone, you can't say that they're being discriminated against because of their weight. It could be a number of factors, and it's just something that it's going to lead to more litigation, and it's going to prevent people from hiring. We want to encourage employers to hire. We want to encourage them to start moving in this economy and moving forward. And this type of policy initiative, I believe, stifles that incentive because people are afraid they're going to get sued.
Mm. Yeah, it's a tough climate these days, and I think the more and more restrictions, the more and more things that government has to get involved with, it kind of gets tricky when it comes to the legal aspect of things. Correct?
Right, and that's where I would stand opposed to that type of legislation, and it's not because I don't I'm not sympathetic towards towards people who are short. I'm short, or super tall, or skinny, or fat, or larger, you know, or obese. That's not the issue. The issue is that we need to be focused on the economy. We need to be focused on encouraging employers to expand and to hire more people. And this type of legislation discourages them. And we're not wanting, we all want a kinder, gentler society. I want a kinder, gentler society where people aren't bullied and where people aren't made to feel bad for their size or anything. And so I just don't think that this is going to be the key that's going to stop that societal, you know, those societal problems.
Again, we're speaking with State Representative Keiko Orrell. I want to be one last thing I want to ask you about before I let you go. I see that the Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe Compact was approved and has been sent on to down to Washington. Give me
yes,
your thoughts
does.
On that.
Well, it was signed on Friday, and the governor signed it and sent it to Washington, and so the Secretary of Interior will have 45 days to comment on the compact and whether or not we have addressed the concerns that he rejected the first compact for. I don't believe that we have met that criteria, and I'm not confident that we'll be that the compact will be approved.
Well, it's just still an issue as far as land and trust. They still don't have land and trust, right?
Correct.
Is there anything else that's kind of that would tie this up other than the land and trust? Is there anything else?
Well, as far as I know, their application isn't complete. So
isn't that kind of a key thing you do before you get started?
I believe so, but I know that they had similar problems in Middleborough, and I mean the whole tribal gaming has heated up with the Martha's Vineyard proposal and the Aquinnah, and so it's gonna be an interesting few months.
Anything else you want to touch upon in closing?
No, I just would encourage small businesses and folks in that community to reach out to the representatives on this minimum wage issue, paid sick leave, any of the concerns that they have about that. And it's really an important thing to hear from them now before things start moving forward. I would especially encourage them to contact their senators, because the debate will happen tomorrow in the Senate. It won't take place until after the new year in the House, but that's where we are right now. So,
well, let's kind of pencil loosely, lightly in our calendars. Let's have you back in January and kind of check in with you.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night.
State Representative Keiko Orrell will step aside, and we will speak with Mayor Sue Kay and Joe Sullivan in just a moment. Stay tuned.